All right, welcome back. Hour three of the Jeff Crank Show. Thanks for joining us today. Some important stuff going through the legislature, some important stuff to stop dead in its tracks going on right now. And you and I really need to pay attention to what's going on in Denver. We also need great people like Paul Lundeen, State Senator Paul Lundeen, who joins us right now. Senator, how are you, Paul?
Great. Well, sir, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm good. And we're going to talk in general about kind of some of the things that's going on in the legislature. But specifically, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about this bill, House Bill 1032. Of course, you were in the House last session, and of course, you got elected to the state Senate. Tell us your thoughts on this bill. Education has been one of your specialties, one of the things that you've really focused on in your time in the legislature, and I know you continue to focus on that. Your thoughts on this bill?
Sure enough, Jeff, and it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you. And you're right. I served for 4 years on the State Board of Education, 2 years as a member, 2 years as the chairman of the State Board, and then 4 years in the House on the Education Committee, along with Judiciary and Transportation as well. But education has clearly been something that I've focused on, and I'm on the Senate Education Committee now. The bill you're talking about, it's a really challenging conversation. Let me back up and kind of frame it this way. Politics is an interesting business. The formation of policy is part of politics. And we as a country and as a state tend to find our way forward on what, over the broad sweep of history, looks like a fairly even path. But the reality is, when you look inside the details of that path, there are moments where it moves one way, you know, makes a big steep move up, and then it makes a big steep move down. It's kind of like the stock market. Over time, it moves forward up generally, but it has really nasty crashes and it has really wild rides up. Well, that's kind of what we're doing here, is we're having this policy conversation that in so many ways, driven by the political process, is really uneven. And this is one of those moments where it seems really radical based on the trajectory of where we are as a country, what the norms and standards of our society are, and so forth. This particular bill seeks to make a pretty significant move that deviates from what we typically as a society would all say is where we want to be. And I think generally when we talk about the choices people make with their lives and how they want to live their lives and their perception of their sexuality and so forth, we want to be gentle and kind and encouraging and loving in the way we do that. This bill, however, really sets a standard that says, yeah, we're not going to put our thumb on the scale with regard to one perspective. We're going to put our foot on the scale with regard to one perspective and reject, in a matter of law, standards that are considered to be more normative and more broadly accepted in society. And part of the reason that happens is one perspective is trying to make their case. And in the course of doing that, it really creates some significant challenges, and we can get into the details of that, but my real big challenges are around the fact that we're codifying required rejection and the inability of certain perspectives to be allowed to be spoken about. That's wrong. Another thing that's really challenging about this bill is it gets in between parents and children at a very young age. I mean, the bill is explicit. A couple of different places, it says all children have a right, and the right they have is to the perspective as prescribed by this bill, as opposed to the perspective as defined and developed by their family in conversation with parents and family counselors and so on and so forth. So it's really a challenging moment on that broad sweep of the formation of policy as we move forward as a society. So that's kind of the broad frame. We can get into the details of it. But my perspective is, yeah, this is kind of a jarring conversation for many, many people.
Well, it is, and you mentioned about the stock market and the comparison. I thought that was a good one. I think what you were saying is, to sum it up, this is radical. This is radical.
Yeah. This particular movement is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a radical departure from where we've been. Let me ask you this, because there's a lot of provisions in this bill and a lot of things that I think are disturbing in it. What in your mind are, say, the top two or three or four, whatever you'd like to choose, the four worst things that will happen if this legislation passes?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the effect this will have it talks about age appropriateness, and it kind of gives an acknowledgement of age appropriateness, but that's with regard to how you go about teaching some of the constructs that are required by this bill. You know, you would teach a kindergartner differently than you would teach a sixth grader. It doesn't say explicitly that it's inappropriate to start talking to a kindergartner about these highly sexualized issues. It essentially requires engagement for all, you know, all means all children to be engaged in this. And it then, as you get further into the bill, it tries to define a little bit of space for the youngest of our students to breed, so to speak, to grow up, to be children and move along. But at the same time, it's vague, and it allows for this elements of training of this very specific set of ideas, even in that youngest space. So that's one of my biggest concerns, is the way this thing's written, it's vague enough to be applied to very, very young children.
And let me ask you this. So you said to very specific ideas that need to be taught. Okay, and that's where I get to this is an indoctrination bill. But let's be clear, and obviously we're on the radio, so we got to be a little careful, and I know that that's one of the challenges in all of this.
Sure.
What are those specific ideas? What is this bill trying to force and trying to indoctrinate on? Because this is a point Ashley made. You know, when she went to high school, when you and I went to high school, it was reproductive health education. It talked about body parts, how they work, you know, feminine hygiene products and their use, things that were actually health related and useful. Now we're talking about how-to manuals, right?
With kids.
So what are those specific things that they're trying, those specific ideas that they're trying to get across to these kids?
Well, just let me read from the bill. I just have a copy of it here. You know, it talks about these various tenets, things that are supposed to happen. It talks about doing it. It's explicit, back to my earlier point about age. It says the information, education, and skills that Colorado youth receive during their formative years, which in my mind implies formative years, that's like 0 through 6 years old. So
right.
Extremely young. So back to my prior point. And it gets into it. It's important for youth to learn about sex and sexuality in the context of healthy relationships. Well, that's part of what you were just talking about, but then it goes beyond just physiology and starts talking about attitudes and so forth. Comprehensive human sexuality education, and that's this new element that defines the whole thing broadly that's being driven, teaches youth about consent, sexual assault, sexual harassment, and the hallmarks of safe and healthy relationships. And here's where it starts to get more challenging. It also teaches youth about the different relationship models they and their peers may engage in. And for this very permissive language, it's encouraging language, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender peers, and how to be safe and a healthy partner in a relationship. So that's
right.
The broad covering, and it's very specific. And you get into it, when you start talking about the details of this, it specifically disallows the ability to talk about tenets that come from a religious tradition or tenets that come from more accepted societally normative. It specifically rejects previously understood and accepted norms. And that's where this challenge comes in. It becomes about teaching something that is very specific, and it blocks out things that are more traditionally. You know, let me jump to another part of the bill to define that specifically. However, it says the bill, and I'm reading directly from the bill, however, human sexuality instruction must not explicitly or implicitly teach or endorse religious ideology or sectarian tenets or doctrine, meaning you may not say, as an article of faith, this particular religious sect, you know, Presbyterians, Methodists, Episcopalians, whatever, you cannot teach that typically that particular group would perceive this or that to be a value judgment that they hold dear and not even get into. You're not even allowed to get into one that they hold that tenet or two why they might hold that. It is rejected and unallowed, disallowed from the conversation based on this law.
Right. As you were reading that, something struck me. You said these are the different kinds of relationships that that kids, I can't remember what word it used, but it says may engage in. Okay, that gives permission, right?
Yes.
I can tell, this is the government telling my kids, hey, it's okay if you go engage in any of these. Screw your parents. Screw your pastor. Forget all the things that you've been taught. You may engage in these things if you so choose. Is that the way it's written?
That's exactly. It also teaches, quoting from the bill, it also teaches you about the different relationship models. So that's the accepting language right there. It's creating a state definition of what a relationship model is. They and their peers may engage in. So now this is permissive. We created this category of different models that you may engage in. So it's permissive again, and you're instructing now. This is the way we as a society, based on the law that we are now teaching you, take our cues, including, and then it goes on to list, gay, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender peers. And then we would all agree to this next phrase, I think, how to be a safe and healthy partner in a relationship. Well, I would agree with that for someone who is mature, adult, or approaching adulthood, but for a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, that's a little bit early to be pushing that information. It really becomes very, very challenging for many, many people.
Yeah,
and
really
here's
does.
The thing, we are always about protecting, you know, protected classes. The protected class that I would argue is so accepted as a class in need of protection that we never call it out is children, the most vulnerable among us. And this particular, you know, it's almost as if we now need to create a protected class called children and then give them some freedom to breathe, to grow, to grow up a little bit in a space where they're not being pushed or pulled by state-driven choices of doctrine. I mean, tenets. And this is essentially becoming a state-driven orthodoxy that is very, very challenging. And I think some, at a very philosophical level, some individuals could argue that this is essentially, in a way, an establishment of religion by the state, which is exactly what the First Amendment says not to do.
Well, and I think, of course it is, Paul. There's no question about it. Let me take a quick break. Our guest is State Senator Paul Lundeen. We're talking about House Bill 1032. This is a terrible bill. We've got to do everything we can to fight against it. We'll be back on The Jeff Crank Show.
This is The Jeff Crank Show. News and information you can depend on. AM 740 and KVOR.com.
My guest is State Senator Paul Lundeen. We're talking about House Bill 1032. You know, at a time when we talk about tolerance and the need for tolerance, and of course we had this whole issue last week with this Covington school and the lack of tolerance that was shown there. I mean, an immediate snap judgment about stuff. And if anybody needs to know tolerance today, frankly, it's the left. I mean, you got this Alyssa Milano talking about the Make America Great Again hat as the new white hood. I mean, she immediately judges these kids. And we talk about tolerance. This bill is the antithesis of tolerance, right? This is what government tells you is best for your kids is best for your kids. Doesn't matter what your pastor says. Doesn't matter what your parents said. These are the things that you need to teach your children. Again, State Senator Paul Lundeen, who's a good man, who's fighting the battle, but man, he needs your help up there. It's a tough thing to do, and that's one of the things I want to ask you, Paul, is, you know, what can people do here to try and stop this bill? What are the things that they can do?
Absolutely, and to your prior comments, I completely agree. I mean, we are called to speak the truth in love. And that's what, on every issue, if it's a transportation issue, an education issue, a health issue, whatever, it is incumbent upon me to be kind, to be tolerant, to involve others and listen carefully to people whose perspective I might disagree with as part of the political dialogue and the policy development dialogue. I think that's really important. And as a society, tolerating and encouraging each other to speak our minds freely and represent our perspectives is so important in society broadly. Where it becomes challenging is when the very powerful and coercive hand of government is used as a tool to tell someone No, you shall believe and think differently. No, you shall raise your children in a way that is consistent with these set of norms now in the red books called the Colorado Revised Statutes, as opposed to how you would perceive you'd like it. So to your prior point, I think it's incumbent upon all points of the political and policy conversation to be decent and kind and willing to listen to others. Years ago, I read a book by Stephen Covey that said, I think it was the 8 habits of highly effective people. And one of the habits is first seek to understand, then seek to be understood. I always try to do that. And I think it's important that both sides of the political conversation do that. And this is why it's important in the political conversation. We have these cliches that we develop, and they become cliches because they're true. We see it happen over and over and over again, and so it becomes cliche. A cliche that applies to this situation is the majority gets its way, the minority gets its say, which informs what you were just asking about. There's 3 numbers you have to know to be successful in politics, in the legislature, or under the Gold Dome in Denver, and that's 33, 18, and 1. 33 are the number of votes it requires to get a bill out of the House. 18 is the number of votes it requires to get a bill out of the Senate. And 1 is the governor's vote, a non-veto or a signature on a bill. Well, right now, the majority, the Democrat Party, has 41. Oh, wow, substantially more than 33, so they can do whatever they want. Right. 19, just a little bit more than the 18 required in the Senate, and 1. So 41, 19, and 1 is saying, here's what we want to have happen. What can happen then? The people can say, you know what, I want my voice to be heard because I don't necessarily agree with this freight train that 41, 19, and 1 are driving through the Capitol building. And that's where the most effective advocates in the state of Colorado, the people of Colorado, can show up at a hearing, have their voice be heard, have their say. And we make it very, very easy. We're very transparent on the web. The General Assembly, you can Google Colorado General Assembly, find the General Assembly website, click on committees, and this particular bill is going to go to the Health and Insurance Committee of the House. That committee, and here back to the numbers and the reality of the circumstance, that is a 7 Democrat, 4 Republican committee, meaning 2 members of the Democrat Party in that committee cannot show up for work that day, and the remaining 5 can still pass through a bill over the objection of the 4 Republicans. And the way to staunch that particular, the way to attenuate the challenge of that is for people to show up. So back to how to participate. You can come up and testify on bills. This particular bill is going to be heard Wednesday, January 30th, so that's this coming Wednesday at 1:30 in the House Health and Insurance Committee. It'll be down in the House Committee Room 0107, and you can find out more details about that on the General Assembly website, or if you're not able to come up and testify, you can register your perspective directly with the members of the committee. Google Colorado General Assembly, get to the General Assembly website, click on committees, excuse me, then you click specifically on the Health and Insurance Committee, and it pops up right there. It shows you the 7 Democrat members and the 4 Republican members, and you can click on there. You know, our shiny faces are all there, and I'm not on that committee. I'm not in the House, but you can still interact this way. You can click on their link. It'll take you right to their email address. It'll give you their phone number of their office, and just email and register. Be polite, be kind, but make your case as persuasively as you can. Let them know what you think.
Let me say this. I'm wondering if I can. You're my state senator, so I can ask you to do some work for me. Okay. I'm wondering if you could send some information to me. Work with Ashley, and Ashley will get it up on JeffCrank.com. And,
absolutely.
And so we're not asking people to go to the General Assembly site and then find this email address. Help work with Ashley, and let's spell this out how we can do this, and then we'll put it up on JeffCrank.com. We can just tell people, hey, you know, by tomorrow or whenever, we'll have all this information, and you can click on the link, and you can email right from there. I'm sure you'd be happy to help us with that. But
I would love to help you with that. That's easy to do. We can help you make it really simple, because the public's engagement – is so important. I mean, we're representing the voice. And here's one thing, a word of advice. If you come up to testify, people tend to get a little bit intimidated. Don't be intimidated. You know what? It's just people exactly like you who happen to be sitting behind a dais who want to hear your perspective. Come up and tell your perspective. It is so important that the people participate. We need to get back together and talk about a whole... I got a whole bunch of other bills going on up there we should be talking about, Jeff.
Next week. Let's talk next week. We'll have you on next week to talk about some more of those bills. Paul, thank you so much. State Senator Paul Lundeen, thanks for joining us. We'll be back on the Jeff Crank Show.
Saturday morning with...